The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Good evening. It's nice to see you guys. So I'm thinking that for today, I'd like to read this poem. It's kind of it's a little bit different poem. The message is a little bit different than what we hear often in, certainly around the beginning of the year. And it's different than the message I feel like I've received, kind of being here and in the business world or kind of in this go-get-em kind of culture. So this is called The Path of the Serpent Owl by Maya Luna. And I think this was written just recently, just within the last few years. I'm not sure where Maya Luna, where she's from. I think she's American, but I'm not sure where she's from. The Path of the Serpent Owl. It's okay not to have New Year's resolutions. It's okay not to have big goals for your life. It's okay not to have plans you want to manifest. It's okay not to chase your dreams. That path is not for everyone. Some walk the path of unbecoming. They are traveling the road backwards, seeking the core. What is basic and essential, what has been there all along. Though we may be headed the same direction, our spirals are mirror opposites. Some walk the path of the visionary, creating abundance and dancing inside a multiplicity of forms. And some walk the path of the serpent owl, becoming more and more naked, shedding layers of fantasy into the ash night sky. Sitting in the dark and seeing the way the wind moves, they do not walk a line or poise their arrow to the target. They sit at the bottom of the ocean and wait, letting the waves devour them. They are following the pulse of listening to silence, like a tiger in the brush waiting for existence to strike lightning into the fire of the heart. For this kind, nothing less will do. Some are opening the palms of their hands and unraveling to become less and less, until they are no thing, to become the still point in the center of all. You know who you are. Keep going. Yeah, I'm touched by this. Sometimes we have this feeling of we should be more. We need more, we should do more, we should have more, we have, you know, New Year's resolutions, we gotta do this, that, and the other thing, but wow, maybe sometimes what's needed is to be shedding, to be letting go, and maybe to be quiet. What was that here? To sit at the bottom of the ocean. I felt when I read this, I felt in myself a little like, oh, instead of this feeling like I somehow have to manifest something in particular, I think part of loving kindness practice too is letting go of this idea of being insufficient, letting go of this idea of being inadequate, letting go of this idea that we should do more and be more. Instead, loving-kindness practice is about saying yes and allowing what's already here. And sometimes with this allowing and saying yes, things find their way and kind of move through. They aren't there. Maybe their stickiness becomes a little bit less sticky. Just not because we are ripping them off or pulling them out, but just because we're allowing. In some ways, by not allowing, we're getting tangled up in wrestling matches and struggling with things. And I also appreciate that in this poem, they're saying for some, they do want to manifest and do things in particular, and for some, they're doing less and less. But maybe another way to understand that too is maybe there's some parts of our lives where we're doing less and less, and maybe there's some parts where we're manifesting too. Maybe it's one person at different times, or one person who's doing both. This kind of multiplicity of views, multiplicity of experiences, instead of just this uniform one that sometimes, if you read the billboards while you're driving, there's so much like, it has to be more, more. So the path of the serpent owl, I don't know what a serpent owl is. It sounds nice. So as I said, loving kindness practice is so much about saying yes and allowing and making room for what's already here instead of trying to put something on top of it, something extra. For those who've been here before, you know that I like to teach it in this way in which there are three elements. The first element about bringing to mind somebody or some being where it's easy to feel some warmth, some care, some respect, kindness, love, benevolence, goodwill. Choose any of those words that resonate with you. Choose all of them. Choose none of them. But is there somebody, a person, with whom you have an uncomplicated relationship in which it's easy to feel this care or this warmth towards them without it quickly getting into, yeah, but there was that time you did that thing that I didn't like and I really love you, but that kind of irritates me when you do this. It's best if we start where it's easy. So that means to often people we might not know or have intimate relationships with. It might be also somebody you have a close relationship with. Some people choose spiritual leaders or teachers. And some people choose puppies and babies and kittens. And I can't help but smile when I say these words because makes me smile, puppies, babies, and kittens. And maybe I'll say also that when we say to bring to mind, there's so many different ways we can do this. It can be with a kind of a clear visual of the being, or it can be more just a felt sense of what it's like when they're nearby, or maybe it's just kind of a vague, fuzzy thing, view or vision of them. The point is to not struggle with trying to get a particular image. Instead, allow yourself to have the experience, maybe, or what it's like to be with this person. And then the second element, of course, is that we use so much of the our experience in the body. It can seem like meditation is all about the mind. It turns out to be so much about the body, about how we can really be present here and now, is to be connected with the body. And sometimes with loving kindness, there can be a sense of relaxation, a little bit of ease, some openness, some warmth, sometimes here in the heart center, in the chest, maybe sometimes in the belly. And we can use that to support us if it's there. There's no requirement that it's there. And then the third element are the phrases, which we use as kind of a reminder of our intention to be cultivating loving kindness. So I'll be offering certain words, which you can repeat after me silently. But you're welcome to use your own words. Again, the point is to not struggle. But it's helpful to keep it simple and maybe a little bit general. So as opposed to, may you receive good news about that test on Tuesday, may it be, may you be happy, or something like this. That can be helpful. It is, okay, I'll say. So maybe we'll start meditation. We'll take an alert, upright posture. Especially with loving kindness meditation, it's helpful to have some ease and some comfort. So you are more than welcome to have any combination of cushions or chairs, move cushions. You can lay on the floor, whatever feels like would be the right thing to do. And we'll start by taking three long, slow, deep breaths as a way to connect to ourselves, connect to the body, connect to the felt sense of being here. Helpful to have some ease in the body. It helps having some ease in the mind. And plus it's just pleasant to have more ease in the body. So it can be helpful to check in with different areas of the body, including around the eyes. I know for me, I find myself kind of having some tension around the eyes, if I'm having tension. Or around the jaw. Can feel the shoulders. Letting the shoulder blades slide down the back. Feel the upper back, the lower back. Nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just bringing our awareness to these different areas. It might be that by doing this, there's a little more spaciousness, openness, relaxation there. It might not be, too. And check in with the chest. Feels okay. It might be helpful to open the chest just a little slight bit. It may not even be visible. Just a small bit. And the belly. Letting the belly relax as best you can. No need to make a big project out of it. Feel the pressure of the chair, or the cushion, of the floor against your body. Feeling supported, grounded, you're here. The upper legs, the lower legs, the feet. Another place we can feel connected. Grounded. The upper arms, lower arms, the hands, and most likely the hands are touching something. Just feel the contact. I'm just noticing, is it rough, smooth, warm, cool? And there might be sensations inside the hand. Maybe there's a little bit of tingling, pulsing, throbbing, or maybe nothing in particular. We're just noticing. Then we'll do a little bit of the mindfulness of the sensations of breathing. You can bring your awareness to the movement of the abdomen, the movement of the chest, or the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. And choose whichever feels comfortable, feels accessible. And we'll just hang out here for a little bit with the sensations of breathing. Again, nothing in particular needs to be happening. We're just noticing, what does it feel like to have an in-breath? What does it feel like to have an out breath? If you find yourself lost in thought, that's okay. We don't have to make a problem out of it. We just very simply, gently begin again. So this practice, mindfulness of the sensations of breathing, can be an alternative practice, can be something you could return to. If it feels like loving kindness practice isn't quite right, isn't, or if it feels overwhelming or too uncomfortable, you can always come back to this practice, sensations of breathing. And to begin loving-kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, someone, some being for whom it's easy to feel care, warmth, kindness, goodwill, benevolence, love, any of those experiences, all of them. And then you might check in with the body. Is there any shift? Maybe there's an inner smile in some kind of way. Maybe not, too. It's perfectly fine. No need to feel anything in particular. And then to help support our intention of cultivating loving kindness, the lovable being in mind, can repeat these phrases in your mind. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. I check in with the body and see if there's a maybe subtle feeling of okayness, wellness, warmth, contentment, ease. May not be your dominant experience, but there may be a corner of your experience. If it is there, doesn't have to be, but if it is there, can you allow it to get as big as it would like? We don't have to make it get bigger. We're just allowing it to get as big as it would like. Maybe refresh the image of the lovable being. Reconnect. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. We can build on this foundation of loving kindness and include ourselves. Extend loving kindness to ourselves. We can do this in the same way as we do with a lovable being. That is, can bring to mind ourselves. It can either be an image of how you are now, or maybe even a younger version of yourself, whatever version of yourself feels accessible or the easiest to connect with warmth and care. Or you can maybe feel into the experience that you're of being here, of sitting here meditating. Connect to that. Can choose whichever feels the most accessible or the most supportive. You can check in with the body again. You might notice a shift, maybe not. And then we'll say the phrases with a different pronoun. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. So it can be helpful to supplement, augment our loving kindness practice with some equanimity practice. So for this practice, bring to mind somebody for whom you care about whom you care, somebody that you wished for them to be happy. But there's also just a small irritating or annoying or just a slight friction. Certainly not the most difficult person in your life. But just somebody, maybe a family member, co-worker, something that you care about, but there's a small amount of friction. And you can feel in your body how that feels to bring them to mind. Then we will use a different phrase for this. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And then to end this meditation, you can feel the pressure of the chair, the cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. Maybe I'll read the first few lines of this poem that I read earlier. The Path of the Serpent Owl by Maya Luna. It's okay not to have New Year's resolutions. It's okay not to have big goals for your life. It's okay not to have plans you want to manifest. It's okay not to chase your dreams. That path is not for everyone. Some walk the path of unbecoming. They are traveling the road backwards, seeking the core, what is basic and essential, what has been there all along. I like this as this way of making room for all of our experiences and our ranges of experiences. So sometimes now I would either open it up for questions more in general, or I'd provide an opportunity for you guys to speak amongst yourselves. Is there any preference, what you like, what you don't like? Is there anybody who has... Yeah, we're not too large. Yeah, so I'll get the microphone so we can all hear one another. And then, so here's the question is there something you'd like to share about what your experience was? Or do you have a question about kind of the practice? I did some mindfulness. Well, first of all, we did a little bit of a body scan. Then we did mindfulness of breathing. Then we did loving kindness of a lovable being, and then the self and equanimity practice. It didn't seem that busy while we were doing it, but kind of felt, you know, now that I'm saying it, it seems like maybe it was a little busy. So either a question or a comment, or maybe it can be about practice in general, or maybe even a comment about the poem I read, or... Yes, thank you. That's what we need, just somebody to start.
It was interesting, I think, the initial kind of gut reaction I had to that poem of, it's okay to not want big things for your life. I was like, no. How untrue. But then, you know, just noticing that sort of resistance initially of, no, you should want to do things with your time. This. So it was my own little inner dialogue about that, and then getting down to the point of it, of being in this kind of steady self, you know, not self-centered in like an egotistical way, but like centered in the self sense. Saw the point of what that was saying, and so I think it was interesting. It's a lot of brain food, I think. And personally for me, one of the things that I've really enjoyed about starting to come here has been the body's relaxation at the beginning, and it helps quiet the mind. I find towards the end of the practice my mind will be wherever it might be, but in the body scan part it does kind of quiet down. And so noticing the space of what my hand is touching is usually one of the calmer, quieter moments, and that was true again today. So I'm grateful for that. And also found my mind wandering, well, usually it goes to things that have already happened, sort of being in this almost daydreamy fantasy mode of like thinking about something that will happen in the future and sort of feeling like playfulness or like wonder and curiosity about it. So that was a nice feeling instead of ruminating on past things of, oh, it could happen this way, or like, what if this went? So that was a nice feeling, and that was my experience in this hour.
Nice. Thank you very much for sharing. And what is your name?
My name is Megan.
Megan.
Yeah.
Megan. Just hand it to anybody. And if they don't want to take it, they can hand it to somebody else if they don't want to speak.
Closest to me.
You don't have to. If you want, you can give it to somebody else or you can speak.
Well, I can share one brief thing about my experience this time that hasn't happened before, but then I kind of reflected on it throughout the rest of the meditation. It was a very distinct shift for me when we moved into the self affirmation or whatever part of the loving kindness my mind like instantly started to wander, whereas the first part of it, while I was bringing to mind someone that I cared about, I had a really great experience this time of my body feeling more open and more settled as that was kind of, we were moving through that part. And then as soon as I shifted to start thinking more about myself, it was kind of crazy how immediately I just had such a hard time really focusing on that piece and giving my own self some loving kindness. So yeah, I guess it's something I need to practice more. But it was, like I said, a very distinct shift right at that point. So.
Yeah, I don't think that, in fact, that's quite common. That's why we do this practice. And it's often why we don't start. Classically, the teaching is to start with oneself, but kind of like in the modern West, that didn't quite work so well. So try to start where it's easiest, which often is a lovable being. Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Molly. And it's great that you notice this too. Sometimes we don't even notice the difference, but yeah, thank you.
So I was fairly quickly confronted with just how tired I was. And I would find that just it seemed like I was just in the middle of a dream or like in this sort of hypnagogic experience. I'm like, oh, yeah, wake up. Okay, there's my cat. I'm petting my cat because that was my easy one today.
Nice, nice.
Yeah, so just, that was kind of my experience today, just sort of drifting out in the tiredness. I'd connect with the image and with the feeling, and I'd be present with that, and then I'd sort of start to fall asleep a little bit. So I probably need to get more sleep.
Maybe. Or maybe it's just that when you finally... I'm speaking in this really... my energy today is kind of low, and so it's... You know, maybe it's just... I don't know. Maybe you do need to get more sleep, and maybe, I don't know, but yeah, thank you for sharing. Sometimes I do guided meditations, and I'm looking out there, and like half of the people are like this. I'm like, oh, maybe I should have a little more energy in my voice.
I can say a couple of things. I've never done a guided loving kindness meditation. I just read a little bit about it and tried to make it up as I went. And one different thing was imagining yourself in an image. You said that was an option. I thought, oh, I never thought of that that way. Let me try that. And that was a huge block for me because there were so many decisions and judgments to make it like how I would imagine myself. I don't know, what would I be wearing? What do I look like? Do I want to look like that? And it really, the idea of imagining myself was a real block. That was an interesting thing to notice. And about the poem, I really liked it because it kind of encapsulated what my New Year's resolution is kind of the unbecoming that was described. So that was interesting. And a question I was asking myself about it as well was, is there a disconnect between living in the present and having those big goals? Like if you really are truly living in the present, wouldn't that be happening anyway? Is there a difference between those two orientations in the way your life would actually live, or is it a difference in the way you think about the way you're living day to day? So that's something I'm wondering.
Yeah. It can be part of the question is there a sense of inadequacy that's fueling this, or is it a sense of, oh, here's potential and possibility that's fueling it? Kind of maybe feel into that, sense that, or something. Yeah. And what is your name?
Oh, Emily.
Emily. Thank you, Emily.
Yeah, I can kind of relate to what both of you guys said. When we shifted to the self one, I had kind of an abrupt change into like the dreamy, oh my God, I'm tired state of I'm kind of half here. And then another thing, it's just like I'm always dealing with like back pain, which makes it really hard for me to focus, and it only comes up if I'm able to like clear my head, which helps here. And it's a, yeah, I don't. It's been several times now where it's the same spot, so I need to figure out a way to accept that pain, I think, and move past it.
Maybe you can have some kindness towards it. Often we kind of end up having like this real strong aversion towards the pain, like, go away!
Yeah.
Of course we have that feeling, right? That's just natural and kind of biology programs that, but often that kind of tightness, like, go away, I don't want it to be here, tends to exacerbate it a little bit. It's a really tall order, but as best we can, if we can just notice, okay, here's this experience, and maybe I'll just offer something that might be helpful, might not be helpful too, but is to instead of saying pain, it could be like, oh, there's that throbbing or that stabbing or that heat. Get a little bit more specific and get a little bit more about the actual experience of it. Is it staying in one place? Is it moving? Is it getting bigger? Is it getting smaller? Is it waxing and waning? Those types of things, so that we can kind of shift our relationship to it a little bit. And all the neuroscientists will tell us that, you know, pain, certainly a big part of it is our relationship to it. Not all of it, but our relationship to it, if we can shift that in any way, can really help it not be so painful.
Thank you.
I just offer that as something like this. Tag, you're it. We have a... Yeah, you don't have to speak if you don't.
And the poem was beautiful.
Thank you.
In terms of experiences, I think whenever we shift to the I part of it, there's almost always a guilt. Hey, should I be taking care of myself, sort of a thing, for me. That's always interesting. And whenever we come to the last part of somebody where we have a slight sort of discordance, there's always a tightness in your body that I notice. Because oftentimes I want to try to kind of completely avoid the scenario or avoid the person.
Yeah.
And so whenever that brings up, it's always a should I sort of a reaction.
Great. It's great that you notice this, right? And you're present with the experience in the body changes as we're going through these different scenarios. Great, thank you. And do you want to say your name too?
Nara.
Okay, so it's 7:00. Thank you all for coming. And I wish you happiness, health, safety, and ease. Thank you.